Me tell you about the team. Come see.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, you know, the whole show this morning has been a focus on, and I think we're just going to take the remainder of the show all the way out and these other things that I wanted to talk about. I think we'll talk about it another time. But these conversations that we're having now, really the American people need to find some time in their lives. It's that important to look at all of these interconnected things that are happening. And so when you look at the whole conversation and movement now, Sandy, is – you know, Taiwan and China, people should be asking the questions. Why is Taiwan in the news now? Why now? Why are we pushing the envelope now? When at the same time, I just saw we spent another $1.7 billion in sending finances to Ukraine to pay the salaries of school teachers, doctors, nurses, others.
You know, I was listening to, I think, the Financial Times news podcast this morning, and they were pointing out that the Ukrainian government is having a great deal of trouble because its budget is suffering so badly, the government budget, because
right.
60% of it is being spent on the war effort, which means that they have to print a bunch of money. They're operating at a huge deficit. Their currency is on the brink of collapse because of the fact that they have to print so much money. Now, that's a huge exaggeration, but it's only at the logical extreme of what the United States does year in and year out in terms of having a huge defense budget and operating at very big deficits, which are clearly to some extent caused by this very huge defense budget. We have a defense budget which is sufficient to support a war. We have ongoing wars and our defense budget doesn't get inflated materially because we have a huge defense budget, which we carry out year in and year out, and which keeps us from doing other things.
You know, Sandy, why are we paying health care for costs for Ukrainian citizens? That's what part of what we're doing with all this money. You are asking about what's going on with the money. We're paying the salaries mm-hmm. of their government people and people who work for the government. Why are we doing that? We won't pay health care costs for the American people, right? We don't want to do that because we can't afford it, but yet we are doing it for Ukrainian citizens. And I'm sorry, to me that makes no sense whatsoever. And regardless of whether or not we signed some agreement or treaty, you know, decades ago,
uh-huh.
it does not make sense to me, Sandy, that we would be okay doing that. But our own citizens.
Well, it really depends, I think, on whether we have an actual, real, strategic, important interest in Ukraine. And the fact is, we don't. So when we do things like what we're now talking about, it seems like it's gratuitous. If this was being done in a manner that we all understood to be strategically important to us because the fall of Ukraine would be actually strategically vital to us, we wouldn't be asking the question you're asking. So I'm interested if Dave's going to call back.
Yeah, he is. He's on the line.
You know, because I'd like to hear what we had this long conversation about the rule of law and
right.
its fragility in the United States and whether the failure of Donald Trump to participate in a peaceful transfer of power is in large part contributing to the current fragility of the rule of law in the United States, and whether he sees the conservative reaction to the FBI investigation of Trump's premises as a problem.
Dave, you're on the line. You heard the question from Sandy. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to finish up really quickly with what I was saying earlier, though, with Ukraine. The one thing, and then I'll answer Sandy's question. The one thing that's overlooked and is not talked about too much with the war over there is the fact that Ukraine has the largest nuclear reactor in the European nations. And give me an idea, I mean, if that thing starts to leak radiation, we're talking something that's so immense that millions of people would be affected immediately in a negative way, because they have six reactors as opposed to one.
And what can America do? And what can the American people do about that?
Well, something's going to have to happen with NATO to secure that, to get that facility.
Well, I don't think I think the UN is currently in the process of trying to intervene and trying to put NATO put UN troops, neutral troops, in to basically make sure that military activities
don't happen.
Right. Neither Ukrainian nor Russian would take place in or near that vicinity, so that it would not be in danger's way. And you're right about that. Zaporizhzhia, I'm not sure I can pronounce all the Z's in the name of the facility, but yeah, it's a very big nuclear installation.
It could be catastrophic. Anyway, to answer your question, as far as the fragility of things with Trump and what's going on there, I mean, I do not have a firm opinion on it, only because I'm waiting to see more information as to what's going on there, because it seems to be, I'm trying to see what exactly happened in that situation. Obviously, it's serious. There's no question it's serious. I do think, though, I can understand why people think it's politically motivated, though, as well. Only because if you look what's going on in New York, with the state level over there with his businesses, and you got a Democratic DA going after him, and you have, with the FBI, I don't believe that Biden didn't know anything about the raid. I don't believe that in the least. I mean, to do something like that, which has never been done ever before, I just don't believe that.
Hey, Dave, what he's accused of having done basically has never been done before.
I think here's the problem, Dave, with respect to DAs across the country are politically elected offices. And so the DA, the DA always has the potential to be in a different party from somebody who might get pursued. And we have courts, and we have all kinds of other processes which are supposed to, in many respects, sanitize that problem. And so there is a court that had to be addressed in order to get the search warrant. There are a bunch of legal processes. But my concern is that because of the erosion in the trust of government, you obviously have some lack of trust in government, because you're willing to exercise this sort of cynical view of whether this could have been politically motivated, and you're cynically jumping to the conclusion that Joe Biden, the president,
had something to do with it,
when in fact...
Well, keep in mind, it is his DOJ, Sandy. I mean, I just can't imagine how Joe Biden would not know about this.
Well, Donald Trump was about the first president to assert and try to assert direct control over the Attorney General. And the fact is that in past periods of time, it's been unsuccessful. Archibald Cox is a clear example of that under Richard Nixon, when Richard Nixon attempted to exert any influence over the Attorney General's office. There was the Saturday Night Massacre. Archibald Cox quit, and it became a public disaster for Richard Nixon. And so I'm not sure that the cynicism is properly placed, because I think Donald Trump was maybe one of the first presidents to ever exercise the kind of irresponsible exertion of presidential power that he did with respect to the Department of Justice. And to me, to the arm wave about the fact that, well, Donald Trump's being investigated in all different arenas, some of that could relate to the man that Donald Trump is. Donald Trump has clearly flaunted the law and used the law in every way that he can. He He has been a party to, I think, 5,000 litigations during his business career.
I was going to say, I'm not going to say that, that the man doesn't have, he definitely has a lot of experience in, I was going to say, in litigation.
Well, but if you understand that, Dave, but if you yeah. understand that, then how can you not, how can you act as if it's a witch hunt?
Well, I just want to get, because I think maybe, here's my concern, Dave, about someone like Donald Trump. And my point is that the rule of law in the United States and the peaceful transfer of power in the United States is, these are norms, okay? The rule of law itself is a norm because people are expected culturally to basically abide by the law and to attempt to abide by the law. And when we have a presidential leader who basically flaunts norms, including apparently a bunch of legal norms, and basically acts as if he is above the law with respect to any or all of the restrictions that were imposed on him. Save documents, don't destroy them. You know, all of those could be viewed as minor, but the fact is that this is a man who is behaving in ways that are putting the test to whether the law can be enforced against him, which in and of itself creates a fragility in the rule of law, because I do agree that bringing a legal action, a formal legal action against a prior sitting president has a bad smell about it, that creates this the potential suspicion that it's a political act. It's why exile was created in most countries as the disposition of prior leaders.
Well, I hate to say this, but I think it's given him an extra life. I think he was on the ropes, and I do think that this raid is definitely firing up a lot of people in a negative way.
I agree with you, Dave. Yeah. That's my point. There is, when someone like Trump, a president, flaunts the law, he puts the law into between a rock and a hard spot. You can either enforce the rule of law and risk what you just said, or you cannot enforce the rule of law and you lose the rule of law.
So what does it say about people who are sympathetic for a man who has done the things that Donald Trump has done, knowing historically and even during the time that he was president? Why is there sympathy for that? People are looking for reasons to be sympathetic towards Donald Trump because they love who he is. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Not for this garbage.
All I want to say is that they don't really care about us.
This man better cease to...
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And we're talking about a plethora of things, but I think they're all interconnected. And so it's always great to have Sandy on. Let's go to the phone line. Sandy conjured up CJ. Now what is he going to do with it? Hey, CJ, what's going on?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I like how Sandy seems to forget Eric Holder and Lois Lerner, the attorney general who was held in a contempt of court of the Obama administration, and talk about the corruption of the attorney general office. And, you know, it seems to me that President Trump has good reason to be suspicious when it's been proven that he was spied upon by the FBI as a candidate and as a president. So how convenient for Sandy to forget to mention that. Isn't that surprising? So the mere fact that you guys, the press, and the Democrat Party pick and choose what crimes are crimes all the time. We watched it in the riots, and it only took January 6th for you to finally figure out American people want police, and not defund them like Mandela Barnes wants to defund the police. And now he's backed off of that.
Or like Marjorie Taylor Greene, or like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who wants to defund the FBI, like that?
Or the Department of Justice.
Yeah, because they're corrupt. They are corrupt.
And so because people in central cities and across this nation saw police officers killing innocent people, they couldn't.
Oh my gosh.
Are you saying
really?
that they didn't kill innocent people? Is that what you're saying?
How many people? How many innocent people? Yes. And those people, those police officers have been convicted, rightly so. So, Earl, how many innocent, and usually these perpetrators don't follow the commands of the police officer.
Hey,
don't
CJ.
Put their hands behind their back.
Hey, CJ.
They fight back. They
Donald Trump didn't follow the commands of the FBI and the Department of Justice and turn over the documents that he was supposed to turn over.
He classified him. He has that right.
CJ, wait.
There is a process that the president has to go through to declassify the documents, and my understanding is that so far, because that would be a public process, nobody has been able to find any evidence that while he was the president of the United States, he took the steps to declassify them. So he can't declassify them as an ex-president of the United States.
How do you know he didn't, Sandy? Words that Merrick Garland said, where possible, when possible. So the mere fact you want to trust Merrick Garland to be the perpetrator as Hunter Biden, you know, and he also said that.
What are you talking about?
No
bias.
Just slow down, CJ. First of all, I don't understand why we were having a discussion of some basic principles like the rule of law, and your discussion now is the basis for people to ignore the rule of law, because you're saying that
yes it is.
Let's just talk about this for a minute. You're saying that the FBI is corrupt and therefore should be defunded and should not be in a position to implement the law because you think they will implement it in a corrupt fashion. Similarly with the Department of Justice.
No, there should be oversight.
Well, there is oversight. Wait a minute, CJ. There is oversight. They have to get a warrant approved by a court. We have a separation. We have the separation of powers for a very clear reason, and that is that it creates oversight. Do you think that oversight from Congress is a separation of power? That's called political oversight.
Well, again, you conveniently forgot Lois Lerner. You want to talk corruption?
I don't understand how. First of all, I'm not sure I agree with respect to whether the levels of the kinds of corruption that you want to describe are related to the kinds of corruption or problems or illegalities we're talking about. But two wrongs don't make a right. And I don't understand the instinct you and others have to point at earlier problems as a justification for the current issue. Let's just address the current issue. Do you think that President Trump has engaged in the peaceful transfer of power, and you think that what has been ongoing since January of 2021 has been conducive to a peaceful transfer of power? And do you think that the United States is much closer to being on the verge of a civil war, I mean actual civil war today, than it was 2 years ago?
Do you agree that the Russian collusion was between the Hillary Clinton campaign
You ignored the questions that he asked.
That's just a try to comparison of prior issues. And you know, no one knows.
I believe that
I believe Trump has reason to be suspicious
hold
of
thought.
The FBI.
Hold the thought. Hold the thought. Hold the thought, CJ. Hold the thought, CJ. Hold the thought, CJ. We've got to go to a break. You can either hang on or call back. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And I think CJ is still there, right?
Yep.
Okay, Sandy, you want to say what?
I do. I just wondered if he knew the rest of the rap lyrics to that song. Yeah. You're a rap listener, aren't you, CJ?
Grandmaster CJ,
I have
right?
Four young daughters.
Oh yeah, you're into rap. Right? Come on, you can't hide it. No, so
I do love some of the music. I gotta admit.
Woo. CJ, let me just say, you before the break, you were saying that you thought that Trump, because of the nature of the investigations he's been put under, and the fact that you think that there was this spying on his campaign that occurred during his campaign, where there were wiretaps, which incidentally were approved by a court, but were possibly improperly obtained based on the assertions.
A lie.
Well, okay, but he wasn't spied upon because it was all handled pursuant to the proper methodology, and there were sanctions taken against the people who improperly sought the application for the wiretap.
Yes.
But let me just say this.
Bring him down.
Just a minute, CJ. Okay. So here's my question. Do you think that Donald Trump is now the object of an improper investigation by essentially a left-wing controlled police state? I mean, is that what you think is ongoing, that Donald Trump's suspicion is properly applied because he's essentially the victim of a left-wing police state? Because that's the way it's being played out, in a manner which is whipping up the potential in this country for civil war.
I don't know. I'm curious. I'd love to see that affidavit.
Which
I think he has reason to be suspicious.
Okay, and do you think he's a victim of a Department of Justice and a left-wing government that is trying to assert police state powers that endanger the civil liberties of Americans generally?
Well, I believe Merrick Garland said that he wanted the law applied evenly without fear or favor, and I don't think that's happened. Oh. I think when you look at Mar-a-Lago, I don't know, that place looks like a fortress. Supposedly the FBI said put a padlock on this storage room. They did.
That's what Donald Trump said.
CJ, let's just, I think, don't you think we should wait for all the evidence to come in? Because I believe what's been said about the padlock is somebody at Mar-a-Lago has asserted that was the case, and somebody from the Department of Justice has denied that was ever done, ever requested.
Okay.
I don't think we have facts to talk about there.
Can I respond for a second? Because I think this is a created distraction, because we're living in a Democrat world. I don't care if he runs in 2024.
Yes, you do.
I love this policy.
Yes, you do.
I didn't exactly like Donald Trump.
You do care if he runs. You do care.
We are a Democrat. We are living in a Democrat party.
What does that mean?
Well, no, wait. Now, wait a minute.
CJ, what does that mean? We're living in a Democratic society. What does that mean?
CJ, this is, we've lived in a 2-year period of time in which the Democrats have a bare majority of the Senate and a slim majority of the House, and we have a Democrat in the White House. Now, the Republicans, yep. The Republicans had the flip side of that going, okay? And was that a dangerous circumstance?
It was because Paul Ryan believed the Russian collusion.
Oh,
and he was,
Paul
he
Ryan was, is was a, he's a Republican.
So wait a minute. So you, you
he's
believe,
a Republican.
So you believe that Paul Ryan was a rhino. Is that
there you go, Paul Rhino.
There you go.
Oh.
There we go. So
Republican in name only.
Yeah, I see. So Republicans,
yes, because,
Republicans need
you know
to.
What? In two years, we are less prosperous as a country, and we are less safe. So in 2 years,
how are we less safe?
Speaking about
CJ, how are we less safe? CJ, how are we less safe? Explain that.
My God, let's see. China only flew over Taiwan 400 times, no, 700 times, and now.
So how does that make us? Hey, CJ, how does that make us? How does that make us? How does that make us less safe?
How about the border?
No, answer the question. No, CJ. CJ.
What?
No, no, you're throwing. CJ, you are throwing. CJ, you are filibustering. Like you always do, without answering questions.
Your question.
No, you're not.
You want to know how we're less safe?
Yes.
Look at our border. You never see it on ABC, CBS, or NBC. The border, only 3.5
no,
million
CJ,
people.
You said we're. You said
across the border.
CJ, you said we're unsafe, and then you brought
and
up the border. First you brought up China. First you brought up China. How are we less safe?
Russia.
Well, wait, Russia.
Oh, my God.
Well,
how about Nancy Pelosi having bigger balls than Joe Biden?
So, see, how can you even deal with
it? Okay, all right. Well, I do agree, CJ, that we've probably given you a long enough leash. At
yeah, you just have to. He really, you know, thank you very much
we're
for the call.
We're less safe and we're less prosperous.
Thank you very much
and
for
yet,
the call.
And we're talking about
end him. End him. Because, Sandy, you tried. We tried. He. You're forcing him to get off of the talking points.
Well, I mean, I guess my concern is that we need to get the people interested enough in a solution to the ongoing social issues in the country. And by social issues, I'm not even talking about health care and all the rest of it. I'm talking about the social ambience of the country that allows us to have discussion and debate and allows us to restore faith in institutions, including the institution of government. And clearly, CJ, number one, lacks faith in the institution of government, but two, has an extremely partisan view of what government ought to be. His view of the Republican Party in control of Congress is that it wasn't really in control of Congress because Paul Ryan didn't believe everything he believed.
You know, Sandy, here's the root of what our conversation has been. Here's what this morning, and this is in the Huffington Post, threats to federal law enforcement reportedly rising since Mar-a-Lago search. An intelligence bulletin released by the FBI and Department of Homeland Security urges law enforcement to stay vigilant following the search of Trump's Florida home. That's at the root of what we've been talking
about. Well, that's
about.
What I'm talking about. The
right.
The rule of law is on the verge of breakdown in the United States. And you know, the conservatives took that same position when the Black Lives Matter movement was ongoing, and there was some mayhem in some of the cities as the result of a public dismay and public disorder. And they were now then taking the view that the rule of law was a principle that was at stake, and we need to increase the activities of the police in order to sustain the rule of law. And now we have the exact opposite circumstance, in which the conservatives now are attacking the principles of the rule of law and attacking those who implement the rule of law, because their view is that it's going to be implemented in a manner that is that they find unsettling. And though they've concocted a theory that there is a left-wing police state on the horizon, which needs to be fought against in militia format.
And you just took the words out of my mouth. With the militia.
With the militia.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you don't have police, then you have militia.
So none of them challenge the militia part of it. This is what's the hypocrisy to me, Sandy, is you can't say and defend the police on the one hand and how much you love them and all those things, and then there's a militia that is armed to do battle with the police, right? I mean, it can't be both ways. You know, you can't pick and choose and say, well, we love the police and the police are this and the police are that. And then you've got a militia that's armed in the face of the police. Who are they armed to deal with? If the rule of law, and that's what law enforcement, you know, basically defends, and you don't agree with the rule of law as it's stated, and you are armed in your disagreement, Sandy, that tells me that at some point in time there's going to be a clash.
Well, there
has to be a clash.
Well, when you look at January 6th and you look at the public statements of Donald Trump and what led up to January 6th, which is essentially that this rule of law about the certification of the electors from the Electoral College ought to be countermanded by the vice president. That ran against the rule of law. Then when he went to lawyers to try and get an opinion that said it was consistent with the rule of law to take the steps, he got advice from them that was not consistent with the rule of law. He decided to ignore that advice from all of the reasonable advisors he had and to pursue a public effort to get a crowd, the rabble, to basically adopt his view that they ought to override the rule of law, which was what was going to occur in Congress that day, and to march down to Congress and try to override it with conduct. So, I mean, we've had some public displays of attacks on the rule of law, and we've also had just a flouting of the rule of law that Donald Trump has carried out, and yet he has struck a chord with so many people in this country that they don't see it.
So, Sandy, we've come full circle from the beginning of our conversation with the inherent danger that we are faced with in this nation right now, with the divide of American people who are either on one side of this thing or the other. And you and I began trying to have a dialogue, and you clearly stated we need to have a conversation with these people, and we tried to have a conversation. Dave, we were able to have some a modicum. A decent conversation.
No. I think Dave. Yeah. Dave's a reasonable sort, and I think that the more Daves we have, the more success we'll have, generally speaking. But I think CJ is. I think when people are frightened, they don't see their own fright, and they feel their own aggressiveness. You know, fright creates. There's the flight or fight,
right,
that derives out of fright. And I think that CJ's in the fight mode.
But the CJ's of the world are the ones who presenting the real danger to what we're talking about, right? I mean,
without personalizing it to CJ, because I think there are many people. Who have this view of things that they believe that the government essentially is conspiring against them, that there is this broad conspiracy that endangers them, that frightens them, and causes them to justify in their own mind all kinds of conduct that is otherwise couldn't be justified. It's the means justifies the ends.
And then there are those of us on the other side of it who see all of those things and say, how are we going to get past it, right?
Yeah.
Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Still in the hands of the one who cares for you. Not just another name, not just some wannabe. In the hands of love, just like I wanna be. Not just another name, not just some wannabe.
Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, I can go for that. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I think this show went by faster than any show. We've done a lot of shows that we've ever done. And you know, the conversation. Man, for 3 hours. That's amazing that we've been on or around the same subject for 3 hours. And I think that it just goes to show that these times require more of the American people. I just really do. Commitment and moving away from who Kim Kardashian is going to date next.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think without over-dramatizing it, I do think we are at a critical juncture in American history. I've never actually felt so much as I do today that we are at a critical juncture with respect to the fabric of American society. I mean, you and I lived through the assassinations of the 60s.
Oh yeah.
The tumult of Vietnam and the breakup of kind of the, at least the youthful society into the pukes and the preps and, you know.
Right.
And none of that felt as dangerous. It all felt like democracy in action. It all felt like there was a controversy that was politically ongoing, but it was going to be handled through the political process, and it was. Gene McCarthy and Nixon gets essentially impeached and replaced, and the legal apparatus all was respected during that process. And now what worries me is that the legal apparatus is under direct assault and under direct attack, and institutions in the country generally are subject to suspicion and lack of trust. And all of that means that we're in a tinderbox in terms of the fragility of our system.
Let's go to Jim from Chicago. Hey, good morning, Jim. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I just wanted to talk to them about their discussion about the.
No, you're on, man. You're Jim. Jim, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Okay, glad I've been listening to your discussion. It's very interesting. I'm from Wisconsin, and I'm driving in for a Croatian festival, and you know, I don't really think it's
a Croatian festival. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But anyhow, I think the reason that people are so divided is that the people that are the FBI has not been consistent in how it's handled matters whenever. So it's really not the Department of Justice so much as that the FBI is not consistent, and it's not Trump. It's not Biden. It's these people in these agencies that aren't accountable for what they're doing. They're not consistent. They find people that are not doing their job properly, and they don't get any consequences. And the rest of us do. And so I think whether we're a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't matter. The situation is bad in that we don't hold people accountable.
Well, but Jim, Democrats aren't saying that about the FBI.
Well, wait. Yeah. You want to say that the FBI has some track record of not being held accountable? Are you thinking about the
Well, there was all kinds of stuff that happened in the last 3 to 5 years where people actually had written emails, text messages that they were definitely politically inclined. In the FBI.
Well, no,
and the FBI really shouldn't be politically inclined.
That isn't actually true. No, we don't have any jobs in which people have to check their ability to vote for political office or have political opinions. They don't have to check them at the door. They're, in terms of having them, they're just supposed to not operate in and to carry out activities which would reflect partisan. I mean, everyone has a partisan view of things. People go to the polls and vote, and so I think you're talking.
Exactly.
I think
that's
you're
the beauty of America.
Well, that's right. So I think you're talking about that relationship that was revealed. The FBI operative and his girlfriend, and they exchanged emails, and in the emails to one another, they expressed a political bias. But I don't think it was actually ever proven that Mr. Stoltz,
there was all the dossiers that were produced that were not actually correct, and they continued to use them. Even Comey admitted to doing that.
Well, there was no consequences. The political process revealed all that. I think that the public has long been aware that both the police departments of every city in the country, as well as the FBI, need to be carefully monitored by the judiciary to make sure that evidence is properly gathered, that evidence is properly presented, and all of that happened in this circumstance.
But Sandy, it looks like to me what Jim is doing is what many others like him do, pointing as if all FBI agents are anti-conservative, anti-Republican.
No, I don't believe that at all. I don't think conservatives believe that at all.
But my point is, you pointed out that, you know, that the FBI is, you know, the
suspect.
Yes, that's what you did. Okay, and then when I challenge you on that, you know, you can't respond other than, well, I'm not saying all of them. Well, which ones, and how do you determine who they are?
And I think
they've identified themselves.
Well, yeah.
They haven't identified themselves.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think here we have a process. We have Merrick Garland, who went through judicial nomination, was reviewed by the Senate, has stood the test of time over a long period of time in terms of his impartiality as a judge.
Right.
And he's the Attorney General. He obviously played the gatekeeper role in whether or not this investigation and this gathering of evidence at Mar-a-Lago would occur.
I'm just trying to get you to understand that people don't necessarily think he's wrong. They just don't trust that some of the higher ups in the FBI are actually being transparent.
Let me ask you: Did they trust the FBI when Donald Trump was president? Because the head of the FBI, Donald Trump appointed.
No.
Well, Donald Trump appointed the head of the FBI. He's an appointee of Donald Trump. He's still there.
I think that you have to be open-minded and understand why people think differently than you do.
No, I know. I do understand what you're saying, and I think that people.
That's on both sides of the equation.
Yes, and I do think. Would you agree, though, then that being suspicious of the FBI is to be suspicious of a fundamental part of the rule of law in the United States?
I've been involved in government for years, in local government. And you always have to make sure that people have integrity because it's not prevalent like it used to be. So
I wish I had more time, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go, Sandy. Thank you for
I hope that people on both sides can look at this objectively.
Look at everything objectively, and that's what the crux of the show was. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you, Sandy. Got to go. See you guys on tomorrow.